reflect, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir wajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the silsila Reflect to Succeed, in which we discuss those matters, you know, in order for us to reflect, to contemplate, to ponder, so that we may succeed in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter, inshallah. And for today, we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion, and that is regarding conveying isale thawab. Yes, we are going to be diving into this topic of discussion, but before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, the views of Madani Channel, this factor of conveying isale thawab is very, very important that we do so on a daily basis, because it is a tremendous gift to our deceased, for those who have passed away from our families in the state of Iman. When we do isale thawab and we convey the reward to them, there is nothing else more precious to them than you and I conveying thawab to our deceased who have passed away from our families and from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at large. Now, the literal meaning of isale thawab is, it is to convey a reward. Saying offering reward is more respectful when referring to a religious elder. Now, Malik al-Ulama, Alama Zafruddin Bihari rahimahullah, he has said, there are four ways of conveying reward. Number one is dua of forgiveness. The second is dua of mercy. The third is funeral salah. And the fourth is to stay at the grave and make a dua. Now, in the Holy Quran, one method of conveying a reward, proof of making dua of forgiveness for the believers, has been clearly mentioned. Like, in the Holy Quran, in verse number 10 of Surah Al-Hashr, it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And those who came after them say, O our Rabb, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith. Subhanallah. And here, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he writes that two rulings have been learnt. First, one should not make dua only for himself, but rather, he should also make dua for pious people. And second, the urus of the saints of Islam, especially the blessed companions and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, khatam, niyaz, fatiha, etc., are all good acts as they comprise duas for these pious predecessors. So, this is what we are going to be discussing today, inshallah. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he mentioned that a woman came to Imam Hassan Basri rahimahullah and said that, my young daughter, she has passed away. Can you tell me the way through which I may see her in my dream? And he told her the way. She saw her late daughter in such a state in a dream that she had a chain around her neck and had chains around her feet. So now she went back to Imam Hassan Basri rahimahullah and related the dream to him. And he was deeply saddened by hearing it. After some time, Imam Hassan Basri rahimahullah had a dream in which he saw a girl in his dream who was in Jannah, was in paradise wearing a crown. And she said, oh, Hassan, have you not recognized me? She said that I am the daughter of the woman who told you about my condition. So Imam Hassan Basri rahimahullah then said that how has your condition changed? And the deceased girl, she said that a person passed by the graveyard and recited salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and due to the blessings of his recitation of salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed the punishment from us 550 grave dwellers. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this account that we have heard about the excellence of reciting salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains the importance of conveying reward. A girl was in a terrible state from a punishment. But when a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst passing by and conveying its reward to the grave dwellers, then not only was the girl saved from punishment, but hundreds of dead were also given salvation from the punishment. Now just imagine and ponder how merciful our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He freed hundreds of the dead from the punishment by virtue of reciting salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only once. So the kind of bounties and favors that he will bestow upon Muslims who regularly recite salat abundantly and convey the reward of virtuous deeds to deceased Muslims is beyond imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow gifts and favors upon the Muslims who convey reward and the Muslims to whom the reward is conveyed. So instead of being procrastinating in this matter, from time to time we should also continue to convey the reward we attain from the blessed salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other good deeds as well. We should continue to make dua of forgiveness for them, because it is such a permissible and excellent act by virtue of which not only the deceased Muslims attain benefit, but also the living ones. Like Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahimahullah, he says that isari thawab, that is to convey the reward of the Holy Quran or Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Kalima Tayyiba, or the reward of any good deed to other Muslims is permissible. The reward of all monetary and physical forms of worship, monetary worship such as charity and physical worship such as Salah, fasting, etc., and the reward of Fard and Nafil acts can all be conveyed to others, because the deceased receive benefit from the conveying of reward of the living. As long as a person lives in this world, his parents, siblings, spouse, children, relatives and friends, etc. are with him. They are with him in every trouble, in every hard time, and they try to relieve his sorrow. If he is ill, they'll inquire after him. But when the same person is buried in the dark grave, neither his parents, nor his siblings, nor his family members, nor friends, nor his relatives are with him. Rather, he is alone in the grave. And it's only the deceased who knows whatever happens to him after he has been buried in the grave. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, القبر روضة من رياض الجنة أو حفرة من حفر النار. The grave is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah, paradise, or a pit from the pits of hell. Now we don't know about the one who is in the grave and whether the grave is a garden of Jannah or, ma'adallah, it has become a ditch of hell for him. But with a desire of doing good to a Muslim, we should form the habit of conveying reward to them. Now, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha has narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that a ram should be brought that walks in darkness, sits in darkness, and sees in darkness, meaning its feet, belly, and eyes should be dark. When it was presented to be sacrificed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, bring me a knife and sharpen it on a stone. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the knife and slaughtered the ram after making it lie down. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "O Allah, accept it on behalf of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his offspring and his ummah." Subhanallah, subhanallah. And here, the commentary of this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he has said, "Also include them amongst those who get the reward of qurbani." So from this, it has been learned that we can convey the reward of our fard and wajib acts to others. And nothing will be reduced from the reward in this way. He says this blessed hadith is a very strong evidence of conveying reward of the food which we place in front of us. As the goat was in front of our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed its reward to his offspring and to his ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he would often talk about his beloved wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And sometimes after slaughtering a goat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cut its meat into pieces and then send it to the friends of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And if we hear as well, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often sacrifice a goat on behalf of his beloved wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and would distribute its meat to her friends for conveying reward to her. Now here, several rulings have been learned from this hadith. Number one is, it is permissible to do qurbani on behalf of the deceased. Number two, it is a sunnah to convey the reward of charity to the deceased. Number three, it is better to give the food that is attributed to the deceased to their friends and dear ones. It gives the deceased double pleasure. First, for receiving the reward. Secondly, for the help that is provided to their friends and dear ones. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, viewers of Madinah channel, we have learned that it is not only permissible, but also proven from the sunnah for the living people to convey reward, not only to the deceased, but even to those who are not born as yet. And it has also been proven that it is a permissible act to convey reward after placing food, etc., in front of oneself. Subhanallah. Now remember that this act of conveying reward is not only confined to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, his blessed companions, alayhim ridwan, also adopted different ways of conveying reward to the deceased Muslims. Like Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullah, he said that the noble companions, alayhim ridwan, they would feed people on behalf of the deceased for 7 days. Like when the mother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Ubada radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, then he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother has passed away in my absence. If I give something in charity on her behalf, will it benefit her?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Yes." So Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that, "Then making you a witness, I say that I give my garden in charity on her behalf." Subhanallah. And in another narration, it has been stated that Sayyidina Sa'ad asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of Sa'ad has passed away. I would like to give something in charity in order to convey reward. So which charity is better?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Water." As there was a shortage of water and it was much needed. So Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a well dug and he said, "Hadihi li ummi Sa'adin," that this well is for Sa'ad's mother, for conveying reward to her soul. And here again, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he writes that giving water in charity on behalf of the deceased, because water brings about Islamic and worldly benefits. Now, some people arrange water stalls for water, especially in those hot and dry areas where there is a shortage of water. Muslims place water along with other things in Khatam, Fatiha, etc. And this blessed hadith is the origin of all of this. So we learn from this that giving water in charity, it is better. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Amir Ahli Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, he says that it has been learned that there is no harm if Muslims attribute goat, etc. to pious predecessors to Uliya Allah by saying that it is the goat of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, rahimahullah, because it signifies that this goat is for conveying reward to him. And he says people also attribute sacrificial animals to each other. For instance, if someone is coming with his sacrificial goat, and if he is asked as to whose goat it is, he might reply, it is mine, or it is my uncle's goat, which is not objectionable. So when an objection is not raised to those who say such statements, then why is an objection raised if someone says that it is the goat of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, rahimahullah? In reality, Allah Ta'ala is the owner of everything. So whether it is the goat of Qurbani or it is attributed towards Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, rahimahullah, at the time of it being slaughtered, the blessed name of Allah Ta'ala is always mentioned. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from evil whispers. So we see that it has been proved from the blessed acts of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his noble companions Alayhim Ridwan that it is absolutely permissible. In fact, an excellent and pure method to convey reward to the deceased Muslims by performing qurbani and feeding people, etc. on their behalf. Like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, he says, cooking food in the name of deceased Muslims and giving it as charity in order to convey reward are undoubtedly permissible and admirable acts. Putting the two things together is to increase in goodness. So it's better for everyone to convey the reward of every righteous deed that they perform to all dead and living believers. He says that the reward will be conveyed to all of them, and he or she, the one conveying the reward, will get the reward equivalent to all of them. Subhanallah. You see, it's a common practice in our society to send gifts to each other on different occasions because it strengthens friendship or a relationship further. When we send a gift to our relative or to our friend or to our beloved ones, the person becomes happy by seeing it, no matter how low the price may be, but he becomes happy. And then he also sends us gifts in return and expresses his love for us. Now, when this relative or friend of ours passes away, we stop sending him gifts. However, if we wish to, if you want to send him gifts, we can send him better gifts in the form of conveying reward to him to make him happy. Yes, our act of conveying a reward becomes a gift for the deceased Muslims and they feel extremely happy, so happy after receiving it. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that the condition of the deceased in the grave is like a drowning person who's crying out for help, anxiously waiting for the dua of his father, his mother, son, or friend to reach him. And when the dua reaches him, it is dearer to him than the world and all of his bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows the rewards like mountains to the deceased. Allahu Akbar, like mountains, rivers of Madinah channel, to the deceased by the dua of those who are on earth. And surely, the gift of the living for the dead is to make dua of forgiveness for them. Allahu Akbar. So the reward conveyed by the living is presented to deceased Muslims in the form of gifts. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He not only blesses his servants with gifts and favors in this world, but here Allah ta'ala also blesses them with the treasure of peace and satisfaction after their death. How? By virtue of the du'as and blessing of conveying reward made by the living. Remember that it is apparently a small deed to convey reward to a deceased Muslim, but it carries immense, immense blessings. Unfortunately, we have become so busy so busy with worldly activities that we do not have time to convey reward to our departed ones or have time to visit their graves and do Fatiha. I mean, how regretful it is that we perform worldly tasks so easily, but consider the deed which carries so much of benefit for us and for our deceased ones either difficult or give no importance to it. Even if a person does have time, he does not know how to convey reward. So he looks for an imam, for a sheikh, for a muazzin, or any other pious person to convey reward. So this is something also that we need to study. We need to learn how to convey reward to the deceased. It's very, very important. You know, Allama Ali Al-Qari rahimahullah, he narrates that Shaykh Al-Akbar, Muhyiddin Ibn Al-Arabi rahimahullah, he once attended a feast and he saw a young man eating some food. It was well known about him that he would become aware of hidden matters and the conditions of the grave, and he would also come to know about the condition of paradise and hell by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while eating his meal, he suddenly began to cry. And upon being asked the reason, he said that his mother was burning in hell. And Shaykh Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullah had recited Kalima Tayyiba 70,000 times. So he conveyed the reward of this to the young man's deceased mother in his heart. And immediately the young man began to smile and said, "Now I can see my mother in Jannah." Subhanallah, subhanallah. We have just heard that the young man saw his mother in Jahannam by means of the power Allah Ta'ala bestowed on him. But by the virtue of the blessings of Shaykh Ibn al-Arabi, rahimahullah's act of sending the reward of Kalima Tayyiba, his mother attained salvation from punishment. Remember, the blessed hadith that states the excellence of reciting Kalima Tayyiba 70,000 times, it's mentioned that undoubtedly whoever recites La ilaha illallah 70,000 times, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him and he will also forgive the person for whom it is recited. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we too, we should also recite the Kalima Tayyiba 70,000 times at least once in our lifetime, and then send its reward to our loved ones who have passed away. It's not necessary to complete the number of the recitation of Kalima Tayyiba in one day and one sitting. It can also be completed bit by bit, and it can be recited easily at least 100 times daily. Subhanallah. So yes, viewers of Madani channel, we need to send thawab to our beloved ones, to our deceased who have passed away from this world, and to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at large. You know, usually when a janaza appears and when all of the menfolk are going towards the graveyard, and what we see is a lot of worldly talks take place. Some are laughing, some are cracking jokes, some are, you know, busy in their own world, and they're not realizing that they are at the graveyard. They are burying a person right down in the ground, and yet they are busy laughing, cracking jokes, speaking so loud, etc., etc. We see this happening. Instead of, you know, doing all of that, we need to have adab for the graveyard, for the cemetery, have adab for that deceased Muslim who has just passed away. So, you know, we need to have empathy that he is going to be lowered into his grave and he's going to be all alone, there's going to be no one there. We're going to be walking away and he's going to be left there. How can we support him? How can we help him? It is by you and I conveying isari thawab, conveying reward to him. And it's so easy. You don't have to arrange a specific gathering and call a lot of people. You don't necessarily have to do that. Whilst you are standing there, whilst you are walking to the graveyard, you can be reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can be reciting Kalima Tayyiba. You can be reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas. You can be reciting Surah Yasin. You can be reciting the Holy Quran. And in your heart, you make this niyyah, you make this intention that, Ya Allah, whatever I have recited, accept it from me. Convey the reward of what I have recited to the deceased and to all those who have passed away from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you would see how that benefits them so much. And even if you are not at the graveyard, say you are at home, even there you can convey Isra'i Thawab. Doesn't mean that a person has to go to the graveyard to convey Isra'i Thawab, or a person has to go to the masjid to convey Isra'i Thawab, or a person has to wait for the 40 days or for the 1 year or for the 3 days and then they would do Isra'i Thawab. No, Isra'i Thawab, as we have heard, as we have mentioned, that it can be done every single day of your life. You, for example, you recited the Holy Quran, and after reciting the Holy Quran, you convey the reward to them. You recite the Salat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you convey the reward to them. I like that when you do this, every good deed, as we have heard, every good deed that you do, convey the reward to them. Because as we have heard, that this is very, very precious to them. Nothing is more dear to them than you conveying Isra'i Thawab, conveying reward to them. How happy we get when someone comes and gives you something, gives you a gift. You get so happy. Now imagine the deceased, how happy they would be getting. And also, one day, when you pass away, when we close our eyes, we would want someone also to convey Isra'i Thawab to us. And it starts at home. Our children, our sons, our daughters, we need them more than anybody else. We need them more to convey Isra'i Thawab for us, to come to our grave to recite Fatiha for us, for them to perform our janazah salah, for them to do our ghusl. We need them to do it. And for that, how does that happen? It happens by educating them. It happens by teaching them, by giving them an Islamic upbringing. Otherwise, if you're going to neglect this and focus on the secular education, on the campus and the university studies, etc., and give all your time there, and when you close your eyes, they would not even be able to recite Fatiha for you. They wouldn't be able to recite, to convey reward to you, because they wouldn't know how. They wouldn't be able to perform your janazah salah for you because they wouldn't know how. Why? Because you weren't there to teach them. You weren't there to educate them about these matters, which really do matter, which will help you in this world and in the qabr. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that when a person passes away, three things he leaves behind, and from those three things are pious children who make dua for him. But it all starts by giving them that training, that Islamic upbringing, that education, so that they may become pious, you know. And when you do this, then you would see that, you know what, your investment, it really, really helped you. This is an investment that you are doing. Like how you would invest in other things, this is an investment that helps you in this world, even in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well. So we need to put our time in this and not fail our children. And when you do this, then you will see success, you will see prosperity, you will see barakah in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter. So always remember, the use of Madani Channel, to convey reward to your deceased and to the Muslim Ummah at large, inshallah. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.